T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Great to be joined right now by a guy who has certainly spent plenty of time in Houston through the years and spending a lot of time in Houston over the last few weeks, I'm sure. The CEO of the XFL.
Commissioner.
Okay. I'm just commissioner of the XFL. Oliver Luck joining us here on Sports Radio 610. Oliver, it's great to see you.
Likewise, Sean. Clint, nice to see you. Thanks for having me on.
Good. You've got a glow about you like you just came off the practice field.
Well, I literally came off the practice field at U of H. We've been over there for the last 2 days having mock games, right?
Yeah.
So the preseason games, Fox, ESPN, our broadcast partners were there mock producing those games. We got a few different rules, so we wanted to make sure that they understood how our game, you know, flowed versus, let's say, an NFL or a college game. But it's been great. We've been down here for about 3 weeks with all 8 of our teams. And the amazing thing is, I don't know if there's a city where you could have done what we did other than Houston, with great college facilities, Rice, TSU, HBU, U of H, obviously, and then, you know, the high school facilities and weight rooms and just the love of the game that people have down here. It's really helped us kind of get this foundation set.
Did it help that you had lived here before?
Oh, yeah.
Your son played high school football here? Like, that you knew, like, this is the city
we need to go do this? No question.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to, you know, Tully and Turner and Thorne and Del Mar and all those high school, out to Baytown, Clint's
That's
old
right.
stomping
yes,
grounds.
Sir.
Right? And you realize just how good the facilities are, right? And people love to have, for example, Bob Stoops and his Dallas team are out at Tully. And people were, you know, knocking down the door trying to get in there to see Bob. So that was cool.
That's
very
good.
Cool.
That's
yeah.
really cool.
Oliver, I played in NFL Europe a few years. I've seen the XFL. I was even part of the AFL that was coming around as a possibility back several years ago, man. What makes this league different than some of those in the past? How are you guys – do you study the NFL Europe and stuff? It's probably a stupid question. Look, I'm sure you studied them all. But,
yeah.
But I mean, do you study those kind of leagues coming into this, and what makes this one different?
So I lived NFL Europe, so it's in my bones.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but we did look at all the other leagues, and I think a couple things make a big difference. One is Vince McMahon. This is his baby, right? He founded this league. He's the creator of it. He's the funder of it. We don't have to run around, you know, raising money like other leagues have had. You know, Vince's his resources have gone a long way towards making this work. The second thing, I think, are our broadcast partners. We've got Fox and ESPN and ABC, right? ESPN and ABC, of course, Disney companies. We've got them broadcasting every one of our 43 games. I don't think there's ever been a startup sports league, let alone a football league, that's had that kind of exposure. Right, and I think the third thing is, it's a little bit hard to quantify. I think we're watching right now peak football. I think the game is at an all-time high.
Yeah.
I'm older than you, Clint, but you got the quarterbacks, how accurate they are compared to you know, what we were doing in the 90s or the 80s or the 70s. It's unbelievable. And I think that there's so many people that just love the game and miss football after the Super Bowl. Right, we're looking at one more football game for most folks, and then
right.
oh my gosh. They get despondent. So we think we can fill that gap, you know, by playing good, up-tempo, fast-paced, high-scoring football, high quality, right, with good players and good coaches, and fill up that gap in the springtime.
Oliver Luck, commissioner of the XFL, joining us on Sports Radio 610. I'll call it the research and development for the league, because it manifested itself in all the rules that we were all notified of in the media and that you guys put some great videos out on last week. I know, having been to some of the press conferences and media sessions throughout the through the formative months here, that was something that was really big. Kind of doing all the research and kind of the beta testing and the feedback on what people wanted to see, and they've manifested itself in these new rule changes that I think are changes. Take us as far as you think is appropriate for the process that went into those, and which of those rules is your kind of your personal baby? Which one do you like the best?
So we spent a lot of time, and this was a great part of my job. You guys would have loved it, right? Anybody who loves the game would love to kind of brainstorm and then really figure out what's doable, what makes sense, what makes what's already a great game, pro football, just a little bit better.
Yeah.
So we worked with a lot of coaches and players and television executives and you know, health and safety folks, because that's important now, right? Brain health is obviously very important to the game of football today. Yeah. And then, you know, started with about 100 ideas and sort of narrowed those down to really about a dozen. My favorite is the option that a coach has after he scores a touchdown. Team scores a touchdown, 6 points. In our game, you've got a 1 point, a 2 point, and a 3 point option. They're all plays from scrimmage. There's no kicking. We're taking the foot out of football a little bit for the extra point. But there's, you know, so you can have a 9 point touchdown.
Yeah.
So that adds strategy. And I think one of the reasons we all love the game so much is the strategy.
Yeah.
So if you can add more strategy, should I go for one? Should I go for two? So, you know, a 1 yard point would be from the 2 yard line.
Yep.
And, you know, a 2 point try would be from the 5 yard line,
yep,
or 3 point from the 10.
Yep.
So, you know, you got to roll the dice a little bit. I had one coach who said to me, hey, if we score a defensive touchdown, pick six, scoop and score, because of that momentum shift, I might go for three right there.
Yeah. Right? That's house money, right?
You got them thinking.
So, yeah, you're playing with table stakes.
That's
right.
That's so right.
I think that's my favorite because it just adds more strategy.
Yeah. I can tell you right now, and I don't feel out of turn saying this because I know the league is embracing sports betting.
Absolutely.
That those conversions are going to mess with bettors.
Oh, no, totally.
We're so used to the increments of 3 and 7, and now all of a sudden there's a 9.
That's right. As we've gone through these mock games, you know, we've had lots of, you know, halftime scores of, you know, 15 to 11.
Right.
Well, you know,
and
it's not just 14 to 7
that's
or
right.
17 to, you know, 14, right?
Yeah.
It's some different different numbers.
Yeah.
What about players? We all know that's ultimately what sells this thing, right? Is a great product is important, but the players out there, who are some of the players that the fans can look forward to seeing, whether they're buying tickets or they're watching on TV?
Sure. So I just came back from U of H and watched the New York team. They're quarterbacked by Matt McGloin.
Okay.
And he was throwing the ball as well as I've seen a quarterback throw it, quite honestly. You know, played for Penn State, obviously, Raiders, you know, bounced around the NFL. Cardale Jones will be the starter down at the D.C. team. You know, and if he can regain that magic from that college run he had to win the national championship for Ohio State, that'd be pretty cool. I mentioned Connor Cook and Phillip Walker here in Houston. Landry Jones and Eric Dungy are kind of fighting for a spot up in Dallas on Stoops' team. Hal Mumme is Bob's offensive coordinator. Hal's, of course, the architect of the air raid offense.
Yeah.
And he's crazier than Mike Leach, if that's possible. But, you know, Hal's going to do a great job running that. So it's guys like that that have been around the block, have some experience, can play good football, and for a variety of different reasons are not in the NFL. Landry said he wanted to be in Dallas. He's got 3 kids. His career, you know, was sort of stymied a little bit, you know, by backing up Roethlisberger for so many years up in Pittsburgh. He just wants to play a couple of years of football and have fun.
Yeah.
Oliver Luck, Commissioner of the XFL, we appreciate the time. Thank you very much. Continued
Sean
success
Clint,
to the XFL.
Yep.
We're looking forward to things getting started out there at TDECU Stadium on February 8th for sure. Oliver Luck joining us on the show. Good stuff here on Sports Radio 610. Good to see Oliver Luck, who has held many positions of leadership both in and out of this town. And I'm glad he corrected me on CEO and commissioner.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Vince McMahon might actually hold the title of CEO. And you just got to go to YouTube to know you don't piss off Vince McMahon.
Yeah, nonetheless, he was okay with it. That was good stuff.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely. All right, we are expecting Astros owner Jim Crane to join us for a few minutes right now out here at the Houston Sports Awards as we give you a little bonus coverage here in the 6 o'clock hour. So it's been an eventful week for sure for the Astros and continues to be as we are joined right now. Jim, Sean Pendergast, Clint Sterner, and out here at the Houston Sports Awards. Great to be joined by the executive of the year here in town named in the Houston Sports Awards, Astros owner Jim Crane. Jim, great to have you on the show. It's been quite a couple weeks. I'd imagine the Houston Sports Awards, probably a nice respite, I would imagine, right?
Well, it should be fun tonight. We got a lot of great Houston athletes here and people in sports, and it's a great town, and it's nice to see everybody show up. It's turned into a big event. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coach, have you found a head coach yet or a GM yet?
Well, right now I'm the coach, the GM, and the owner, so I got a lot of jobs, but we've had some great candidates in this week and have a lot of great choices. We're going to narrow that down. You know, it takes the chemistry, and we've got some internal guys. It takes good chemistry with the coach and the bench coach, and so we're trying to get those matchups right and get the right personalities. But certainly some very qualified people that will add some stability to the bench and can handle this situation. So it's gone good this week. We should wrap it up early next week, hopefully.
That's great. Jim Crane joining us on Sports Radio 610. You guys have one of the best teams in baseball. Regardless of what's gone on the last couple weeks, it's still one of the best teams in baseball. How does the core of this group affect the way you go about this search for a manager? Does the veteran nature and the chemistry of the clubhouse affect the way you go about this search?
It's a good clubhouse. You know, the team's good. You know, on paper, we should be right there again next year. You know, you got to have a few things go your way. But, yeah, I think once with this team, I joked earlier, if you can write and fill out a lineup card, you could pretty well run this team. You know, you got to figure out the bullpen, but the lineup's pretty strong. So, you know, I think everybody that we've interviewed is excited and knows this team can win, and this team's going to come out with a little bit of edge. I think, you know, a couple of the players we interviewed yesterday, it's a little tough on them. That, you know, we're going to get together in spring training and get a clear message to the players on how we're going to address this. And, you know, the message is going to be very simple. You know, we apologize for what happened to the fans and the sponsors. We're sorry. And we're going to make this right, and we're going to do the right thing. I think we started on that track, and so it's been a difficult week, but we'll recover from it. And you know, I think we've had great support from the sponsors and the fans, and I think we can really move forward in a positive way.
Yeah, I wanted to get the last part there. You talked about, have you had a chance to kind of get out of the bunker a little bit and see what the reaction has been of season ticket holders, fans,
yeah,
things
we,
like that?
We go over that every week. I mean, it's been very solid. No big sponsors have moved, and you know, season ticket is holding where it was last year. You know, we suspect after we get past this and things get going, things could get a little bit better. But you know, this town's resilient. They stick with you. Everybody in this town is amazing, really. I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Have you talked to the players a lot through this whole thing?
I've talked to a number. They're all spread out. I mean, I've talked to Jose and Bregman and Springer on the phone a little bit and met with them before, but they're all out of here, so it's really hard for them to kind of work as cohesive. And when we get to spring training, we'll do a really good job of addressing this to the fans and the sponsors and our supporters, and to baseball. And so we want to do that as a team.
Astros owner Jim Crane joining us on Sports Radio 610. Specific to this event, what was your reaction when you heard that you were selected for this honor, the Executive of the Year?
Well, there's a little bit more behind it. I mean, the golf tournament is gone, and we were fortunate enough because of our connections with the team to really rally the sponsors to cover the cost of the tournament. But the real driver was, this is all for charity.
Yeah.
I mean, so anything we get over our costs, which I hope will be significant down the road, will go back to the city. So, as an example, the other night we raised $2.6 million for New Hope Housing, which really supports homeless and low-income housing, and that's one of our themes, fixing baseball fields, kids' cancer. All of those things, I think, since we started the foundation, when I took over, I was there, but it didn't have a lot of money, and I think we've either given away or raised over $50 million. And so the money to fix a golf course, we've gotten from foundations and a lot of giving throughout town and sponsors in town. So we'll have spent probably $35 million on the park to fix it for the golf tournament. It will be great. It will be a place to be. But even better, it will continue to give back to the city. And that's what I think is really key here.
The golf tournament, was that something that you saw? You know, the golf tournament looked like it was, you know, losing its sponsor, it may move, whatever the case may be. Is that something you saw and said, I want to do this, or did people approach you about it?
Well, I knew about it, and I hate, you know, they couldn't execute the plan, and I knew that I thought I could raise the money. I really called the commissioner and said, if I can raise the money, he says, you got 2 weeks. I said, well, thanks for all the time. So we were able to get a good anchor on it, and I backed the rest of it. We were able to get it pulled off this year and actually have some excess. And really what gave me the idea is, not, you know, we're not the smartest people in the world here, but we get a good idea, we can run it. I saw the Phoenix Open, and they raised $60 million a year there. And I said, if we can get this to Memorial Park, we can create an event like that that will really give back to the city. And that's as simple as it was, and we just ran after it.
Astros owner Jim Crane joining us on Sports Radio 610. Jim, we know you've got places to go, people to see. We really appreciate you spending
great
a few
thanks
minutes with us.
We'll have a fun night. Thank
you,
guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to the upcoming season. Jim Crane joining us here on Sports Radio 610. So, so not bad. Jim Crane and Oliver Luck back-to-back.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Power duo back-to-back.
Yeah.
Wrap this thing up.
Yeah. The sense I get with the Astros is something you've touched on, as I do think – the fans have gone through these stages of dealing with the grief, and I think most of the fans now, I didn't want to bring this up with Jim because I don't think he cares about what's going on social media or between fan bases and things like that, you know, the Hatfields and the McCoys, that kind of thing. But I think you should know that I do think there's a big, significant chunk of the fan base that's ready for the 2020 season to get here, if for no other reason, just to put this behind us.
Look,
there is a
large percentage of the fan base that not only is ready for that season to get here, but they're ready to buy the next T-shirt, they're ready to buy the next jersey, they're ready to support, the black sheep of the league for right now. I mean, I didn't think he'd appreciate my comments about, I'm betting on the popularity going through the roof with your squad and that kind of thing on the back end of the scandal that he's dealing with.
Well,
but nonetheless, he would have got it.
I think popularity here in town, I think notoriousness maybe outside, notoriety maybe outside of town.
I mean, either way you slice it, man. I mean, there's interest and it's through the roof right now, coast to coast for the Astros. I really believe that, man.
Now in my head I'm going, I wish I'd asked him what he thinks it's going to be like on the road for his team.
You were going to bring up the Dodger crew that's going to be in Anaheim
I had the wrong browser opened up.
You were on a roll about the more detailed things, the more CEO type
conversations. We got a little stuff, but you know, this isn't the media session grilling that you get, you know, like this is an award show.
Right.
So we see, we see what we can do.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.